You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Welcome to the desert of the real. Billions of people just living out their lives, oblivious. This can't be.
Be what?
Be real? The real world.
And welcome to the Unzip Show. Today we take a look at the dark web and the deep web. What's the difference?
Facebook recently unveiled a second URL for their site that can only be accessed through Tor, which is a software that allows users to log in anonymously from nearly anywhere on the planet, even in countries where Facebook is heavily monitored or blocked. This makes Facebook the first major web company to offer a platform on the dark web. So what is the dark web, and why did Facebook join it? First off, it's important to understand that the internet is vast and constantly growing, and the majority of our daily usage only scratches the surface. Google, Yahoo, and other search engines only show about 4% of the data available on the internet. To access the other 96% requires customized digging through individual sites, subpages, restricted access journals or archives, and so on. This 96% is called the deep web. It's also important to understand that pretty much everything we do online is visible, traceable, and possibly being monitored. Everything except for the areas of the deep web.
Possibly being monitored? I'm gonna say more than likely monitored.
That are masked by the dark web. The dark web is concealed through a series of identity masking layers, which basically means that you can access and interact with it anonymously without being tracked. This is achieved through special encryption software like Tor, which stands for the Onion Router, which when installed on your computer appears and acts like your standard Firefox browser, albeit slower. But instead of routing your connection through a direct line, Tor routes everything through a series of encrypted computers all over the world, bouncing around randomly before it reaches its host destination. This makes the origin of the data and the people searching for it unknowable. So while you might actually be in New York, your search traffic can appear to be coming from random points all over the world, making your location essentially untraceable. So why does Facebook, a company that is anything but anonymous or discreet, want this? Well, they claim that it's all part of a long-term effort to achieve greater accessibility and security for its users, which according to some critics is pretty much just code for desired global domination. Facebook wants to be used by everyone, everywhere, and pushing the site into the dark web opens Facebook up to users who might otherwise be unable to access it, or who might worry about government surveillance or other security controls or threats. Places like Iran or China, for instance, are known to restrict access to social sites like Facebook. Tor won't shield users' Facebook profiles or activities, those will still be public, but it will keep their location and potentially their real identity hidden from authorities.
I'm sure by now that everyone has heard of the dark web, commonly known as the epicenter of illegal online activity.
A vast secret cyber underworld. It's called the dark web, and people aren't using it to buy shoes. They're buying drugs, weapons, anything you can imagine. The subterranean realm is sinister and untraceable, with consequences that can be deadly.
People may also be familiar with Silk Road, or at least its history, the online marketplace where you could buy narcotics with absolute anonymity. But the dark web is part of something much bigger, the deep web, which makes up 90% of the entire web. Through our internet searches in our daily lives, we only see a tip of the iceberg. How did this all start? In this video, we'll take a look at both the deep web and the dark web. For starters, let's take a look at some basics. The web can be defined into three categories. First, there's the surface web, and that's everything that's open and available. Basically, everything that can be found through a Google search. Following this is the deep web. This is the portion of the internet that's hidden from conventional search engines, and it contains unindexed websites. Here, you can find personal information like your payroll and medical records, or a corporation's private data. And finally, there's the dark web. Here, sites are intentionally hidden from search engines. Sites on the dark web can only be accessed through special browsers which use masked IP addresses to hide the identity of the visitors. So where did this dark web come from? In 1969, a couple of university students sent the world's first computer-to-computer message. It was sent on ARPANET, an early ancestor to the internet. The concept of connecting computers together was a radical idea at the time, and it set in motion the progression to the modern internet. But ever since there has been the internet, or any form of internet, people have used it for illegal online activity. In fact, one of the first ever e-commerce transactions was a drug deal in 1970. It was done between two students at MIT and Stanford. In the 1980s, people also attempted to create data havens in small countries with relaxed laws. These early examples were nowhere near as sophisticated as the modern dark web. However, they illustrate the point that there have always been people who wanted to use the web to escape the eyes of the authorities, or everyone's eyes for that matter. In the mid-1990s, things started to get interesting. A technology called Tor was created. Tor stands for the Onion Router and is a browser which allows users to exchange information anonymously online. Peer-to-peer networks like Tor are the backbone of the dark web. For the dark web to exist, it needs anonymity. Tor manages this by hiding the identity of the user by bouncing the connection through three different servers around the world, adding a layer of encryption each time, hence the name Onion. It would be logical to assume that Tor was invented by a group of anti-establishment coders and criminals trying to evade government control. Looking at the illegal activity of the dark web, this makes sense. However, quite paradoxically, Tor was invented by the US Naval Research Laboratory to allow intelligence personnel to transfer information securely.
Imagine that, created by the U.S. government. I'm surprised.
Another agency of the U.S. Department of Defense called DARPA further developed Tor, and in 2002, they made it available to the public. To this very day, Tor is still funded in part by the U.S. government.
I think they say funded in part.
But why would the U.S. government fund and allow the general public to access Tor?
Yeah, why would they do that? Oh, I'm sure he'll tell us.
Well, the idea was to make it difficult for anyone to decipher which information on the dark web was created by intelligence officers. It's easier to remain anonymous in a sea of anonymous users. Simply, the more users there are, the better. It's important to note that without Tor, the darknet would still exist. Tor is simply one dark web browser, to which there are many. It's kind of like if Google Chrome was shut down tomorrow, the internet would still exist. In 2014, Dr. Gareth Owen provided a breakdown of the sites on the dark web by classification. His research found that drug marketplaces were by far the most common type of site. This was followed by other marketplaces, including fraud sites and Bitcoin sites, which were mainly used for money laundering.
And don't forget stolen identity sites. There's a ton of those also.
Watching a video on YouTube, then you head to Amazon to buy your grandma's birthday present.
This internet browsing is taking place on a level of the internet called the surface web. But beneath it are many more layers of the internet in what's known as the deep web.
At the top of these layers are websites that can be accessed
but can't be found by doing a simple search on Google or Bing. Think online banking and government databases, pages that are password encrypted. But what if you keep going down? All the way to the bottom of the deep web. Well, here you'll find the dark web. Here, users can communicate through encrypted messages and can buy and sell anything with total anonymity. It's been called the Wild West of the internet because operating in the shadows are extremists, criminals, and trolls. But Where did the dark web come from? And how does it work?
Firstly, the dark web is not a place, but a term that describes parts of the internet that hide your identity and location. The dark web's infrastructure was created in the 1970s, at the same time as the internet itself, but to utilize it, you needed darknet software. Enter the US Naval Research Lab, who created, back in the early 2000s, one of the first and still the most popular darknet software, Tor. It was created for a number of reasons, which included providing the US Navy's intelligence officers with the means to maneuver through the internet without being recognized or traced.
But to really give you an understanding of what the dark web is like, we need to explore it firsthand. So I've downloaded Tor, which looks like a normal web browser and seems to behave like one too.
I can visit any site I like, but unlike normal web browsers, which would register my IP address straight away, the Tor browser bounces my request to enter the site via several computers around the world, encrypting and decrypting my identification as it goes, so that no one knows where the request has come from.
Now that I'm browsing the internet anonymously, certain websites have become accessible. Websites like the infamous Silk Road.
You know what's funny is this reporter from CNBC, this is on YouTube, by the way, he's in a coffee shop with a laptop. So you know he's not using the news agency's internet. He's using some coffee shop Wi-Fi. It's kind of funny.
The Silk Road was one of the first online black markets where you could buy drugs, guns, and child pornography. 2 years after starting the site, the founder, Ross Ulbricht, was arrested in 2013 and sentenced to life in prison for money laundering, drug trafficking, hacking, and fraud. This was quickly followed by a shutdown of its successor, Silk Road 2.0, along with similar sites such as Project Black Flag and Black Market Reloaded. There are even reports that the FBI has hacked into Tor itself, which subsequently saw the browser's usage drop by nearly 50%.
Now, wait a minute. If the Tor browser was invented by the U.S. government, now the U.S. government has to hack its own browser? I don't get it.
This all gives the impression that the authorities are fighting back, but closing down one or two online markets has simply cleared the way for its competitors. If you didn't want to use the Tor browser, there's I2P or Freenet. Instead of Silk Road 2.0, there's now Dream, Agora, or Alphabay, and they all provide the same services. The dark web, however, is not just an eBay for illegal purchases. It's also used by radical extremists to communicate and spread propaganda. But not all activity going on down in the dark web is illegal. Tor, for instance, receives 60% of its backing from the US State Department and the Department of Defense.
But yet, they had to hack it, the government. But it's funded. I don't get it.
To act as a secure network for both government agencies and political dissidents fighting oppressive regimes. Over the past decade, the dark web has empowered activists to spread news during the Arab Spring and encourage whistleblowers to release information. The dark web as a tool to help journalists uncover the truth was made popular by WikiLeaks. Now, news organizations such as the New York Times and The Guardian all host dark web drop sites for uploading anonymously leaked tips and documents. It's also helped domestic violence victims hide from online stalkers and allowed ordinary citizens to surf the web without being tracked by advertisers or even the government, which leaves us with a great dilemma.
If the authorities try and succeed in shutting down the dark web and the criminal activity that it supports, they'll also be adversely affecting all the people that use it for social benefit.
The question remains whether internet freedom and privacy, for legitimate and sometimes life-saving reasons, are worth protecting while this vast criminal underworld operates alongside it, inside the dark web.
Well, there you go. The deep web, the dark web. I don't know. Explore at your own risk. Derek at unzipshow.com. D-E-R-E-K at unzipshow.com. Keep those emails coming and the show ideas. I do appreciate it. Until next time.